You can lose your fortune, family, and friends, but one thing you'll never lose is your creditors. Hi, I'm Rob West. The Bible doesn't speak of debt as a sin, only that we should avoid it. While some types of credit are better than others, some should be avoided like the plague. I'll talk about them with Howard Dayton today. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest today, Howard Dayton, is founder of Compass Finances God's Way and a dear friend and mentor of mine. Howard, delighted to have you back on the program.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Howard, in your book, Free and Clear, God's Roadmap to Debt-Free Living, you have a chapter called Credit to Avoid, and that's what I want to make the focus of our conversation today. You have several examples. Perhaps we can start there.
Sure thing, Rob. Well, let's start with finance companies. Their interest rates are sky high and may run as high as prime rate plus 10%. Wow. People use these companies because their credit isn't good enough to work with conventional lenders. Yeah. And in most cases, Rob, they're absolutely desperate for cash. Yes. And finance companies that deal primarily in debt consolidation loans charge enormous fees and closing costs. And we really need to pay attention to the difference between the interest rate offered and the APR, which is the annual percentage rate, which factors in closing costs. And finance companies are also notorious for their lack of cooperation when payments are late. They're much quicker than conventional lenders to turn those loans over to collections.
Yeah, we certainly hear that with our callers. And that, of course, Howard, means potentially serious damage to your credit score, which takes years to recover from. What's another source of credit to avoid?
Well, the so-called payday loans, or sometimes it's known as payroll advances. These are very short-term loans, Rob, and usually in the range of only $100 to $500. But the Federal Trade Commission warns that the typical, get this, APR on payday loans, 391%.
Wow.
Now just imagine borrowing $300 for 2 months and then owing almost $500. It's really a legalized form of robbery. And that's the horrendous interest and late fees absolutely trap people into making one payday loan after another. According to studies, 90% of their business comes from people who are so desperate that they have to make five or more of these loans each and every year.
Well, if you're living paycheck to paycheck and not putting anything in your emergency fund, we know the next stop is often, unfortunately, a payday loan. Howard, what's next on this list of credit to avoid?
Well, next are pawn shop loans. These are short-term loans secured by something of value that's sold if the loan isn't paid on time. And interest rates, get this, range from 2% to 25% per month. That means the annual interest rate, of course, is between 24 and 300%. And many people who take out these pawn shop loans never recover the property they pawned for cash. And at times, when you think about it, some get so desperate that they end up pawning something really valuable and they never see it again.
Right. And I've noticed on those popular cable shows that pawn shops never reveal how much interest they charge on those loans.
No, they don't. But it's a big number.
Yes, it is.
The next form of credit to avoid is auto title loans, Rob. These loans are usually for 30 days. They're secured by a car title, and the individual can borrow money based on the value of the car. But Rob, the high interest rates really aren't the biggest downside of a car loan. If the borrower fails to make the loan payment on time, the lender can repossess the vehicle. And as one consumer advocate said, car title loans are really legalized car theft because you lose the entire car equity no matter what the loan amount is. So it's really, really dangerous and something to avoid.
No question about it. The same, I assume, would go for tax refund loans. Stay away from those as well. Howard, just a few seconds left. We want to make sure we don't use debt to avoid giving God the opportunity to provide, right?
Absolutely. And as you've said so many times, be faithful to save and to pay off those debts and to give.
Awesome. Howard, thank you for stopping by, my friend.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Howard Dayton, my friend, with wisdom from his book, Free and Clear. Your calls are next. Stick around.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, at soundmindinvesting.org.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Thanks for tuning in. Our team is taking some time off. We're away from the studio, so today's not the day to call in, but we've got some great questions that we lined up in advance, so let's head right back to the phones. Nancy's in Pennsylvania. Nancy, go right ahead.
Hi, I am almost 74. I own a house, own a vehicle in good shape. I have about $200,000 between IRA, cash. My son put some things in the stock market for me. And he told me the other day, texted me and said, government I-series savings bonds are paying 9.6% and they adjust with inflation.
Yeah.
Explain that to me because he's on vacation right now and I won't be able to talk to him about that.
Well, I'm glad I could be his surrogate while he's on the beach somewhere or whatever he's doing. I like I-bonds a lot, Nancy. We've actually talked about them quite a bit on the program. A lot of folks don't realize what they are, and they're series I-bonds. The I does stand for inflation. They're issued by the U.S. government, so they're U.S. government bonds, series I, and they are pegged to CPI. So there's a constant portion, and then there's a portion that adjusts based on the consumer price index, and as a result,
result of the significantly elevated inflation we're experiencing right now, a 40-year high based on the May data. These I-bonds are paying right now 9.62%. So he's correct. They adjust every 6 months. We just got the adjustment up to 9.6 starting in June. And you'll see the next adjustment in November. But based on the current economic forecast, I don't see them going down a whole lot. So I think you'll enjoy a great rate. The only potential downsides are, number one, you're limited in how much you can put in. At that rate, people would love to plow a ton of money into these things. You can only buy $10,000 worth of I-bonds in a calendar year per individual, and they're electronic. You could get an additional $5,000 in paper bonds, but it has to come by way of a tax refund. So for most folks right now, the only opportunity is up to $10,000 in electronic bonds. There really is no risk unless the U.S. government collapses and doesn't honor its debt. So, you know, from that standpoint, they are incredibly safe. You do have to hold them, even though they're 30-year bonds, well, 20 years with initial maturity with a 10-year extended period, you are required to hold them for at least 1 year. And then if you cash them in before 5 years, you'll be penalized 3 months worth of interest, but that's not a whole lot. So you'll still enjoy a great rate. So to take advantage of these, you have to do it electronically. You'd go to treasurydirect.gov. That's the Treasury's website, U.S. government's website for the U.S. Treasury. You'd set up an account. You'd do an electronic transfer in to purchase the electronic bonds. And at that point, you would start enjoying this great rate. So it is something that I would recommend for most folks, as long as they're willing to hold them for a year.
Okay, a question. Explain to me adjust per inflation.
Yeah, so every 6 months, the portion of the bond that makes up the composite rate is a variable inflation rate. So there's a fixed interest rate for the life of the bond, which is almost zero right now, and a variable rate that's adjusted each May and November based on CPI, the Consumer Price Index. So when CPI comes out next November, that portion of it will adjust based on consumer prices, which is basically an index of consumer prices across a number of different industries and services. So as that adjusts up or down, that will affect the prevailing rate, the composite rate for the I-bonds. But given that inflation is so high right now, that's what's driving this 9.62% return. When it adjusts next November, based on current forecasts, it probably is not going to come down a whole lot, but it's going to be dependent upon what the consumer price index is at that time. So we don't know for sure what it'll be, but we know that inflation's not going anywhere anytime soon. And so given that, we'll still see a very attractive rate for these bonds, which are very safe because they're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government.
I don't know if I should say this online or not, but I don't have a lot of faith in it.
Well, it's the strongest economy in the world. I realize we have our challenges, but when you stack our economy next to any alternative, you will see that we're in a pretty good spot despite our challenges. So I realize politically and otherwise, you may have some concerns about where things are going. I understand that, but you know, given the technological advances, given how strong the consumer is, given our workforce, given you know, the state of our economy and just how massive it is compared to anyone else, I wouldn't bet against the U.S. economy over the long haul, especially in the next 12 months. We're not going to default on our bonds in the U.S. In the United States anytime soon.
The CPI, the prices are going up. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, ma'am. So that's the Consumer Price Index. CPI is an index that measures the average change over time of goods and services. And there's essentially a basket of goods and services that make up the Consumer Price Index. So that's what's going to drive where this rate is going in the future. And CPI is not going down much anytime soon, unfortunately, but fortunately for these bonds. We appreciate your call today. Hopefully that helps you, Nancy, and God bless you. To Florida we go. Clover, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes. I have a question. I have a 401k from a previous company I used to work with. I moved to another company which had a 401k, but I do not want to merge.
Okay.
Both of them together. I'm thinking what I should do with it. It's sitting there now for over 3 to 4 years now.
How much is in? Company. How much is in that?
$50,000. Okay. Last time I checked.
Yeah, I'd probably roll it to an IRA. Do you want it invested or do you want it in cash?
I would rather have it invested because I don't need it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good idea. I mean, I rolling it to your current 401k would make it much simpler because then you just have one account to manage. But if you don't want to combine them, then you could roll it out to an IRA. You'd have less in the way of fees and you'd have more control over it. The question is what to do with it once you roll it out. I'll give you two options. One is you could use a robo-advisor that takes a very low-cost indexed approach to investing. It's passive. You would answer a series of questions and then based on your age, your risk tolerance, goals and objectives, a portfolio would be created for you using indexes, which captures the broad moves of the stock and bond market. And you would be a long-term play, just like you said. I'd look at Betterment. I'd look at the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. If you'd like some help picking some good quality mutual funds, doing it yourself, but with the input of some professionals, you could also check out our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. The Sound Mind Investing newsletter is has a long tenure of helping God's people manage their money with solid investments where they have a little bit more hands-on, but where they'll give you all the guidance you need. You can find out more at soundmindinvesting.org. I'd look at one of those two, Clover, but once you decide, then you'll roll that out to an IRA, an individual retirement account. We appreciate your call today. Folks, we're going to pause for a quick break. Again, we're not here today, taking some time off, so don't call in, but more questions just around the corner. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing?
What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Hey, our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance, so let's head back to the phones. We'll head to Michigan. Dakota, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. So my question is, my husband and I bought our house about 4 years ago. We were in a rush. We didn't pick the best choice. There's a lot of work to be done. And we also used a program that helped give us our down payment. So no matter what, we have to pay that down payment back before we can do anything okay. with the house, change anything with the mortgage. We decided we really want to sell. So we want to pay off that $3,000 that they gave us. But the house needs a lot of updates. And I'm wondering if it is better to save and then update that way, or would it be better to take out a loan and do everything at once and then try to put that value back in the house and then pay off that loan that way?
Yeah. So tell me, though, about that program that you have. Are you able to take out a loan, a second mortgage against the property, whether that's a home equity loan or some other type of loan, without addressing that first?
No, we'd have to pay that back to be able to do anything like that.
And do you have the ability to do that?
It would eat up most of my savings so far. We've got about $4,500 in the bank, and I am working on trying to actively put more into that all the time to get that $3,000 paid off.
Okay. So it would be $3,000 you'd have to pay back. And then how much equity do you have in the home?
So the what we have left to pay off of the home is $79,000.
And what do you think it's worth today?
So according to the app, that Zillow app, it says about $1,300,000, but with all the updates that I know that we need to do and that app doesn't, I don't think it's probably correct.
Okay. And what do you estimate you need to put into it?
That's a hard one. The windows need to be done. The floors need to be redone. The bathroom needs to be remodeled. There's quite a bit. It'll be a couple of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, that the things you're describing to me, windows and bathrooms, that sounds like more than a few thousand dollars. I mean, you can spend, you know, $10,000 or more on windows and bathrooms. Have you had a contractor out or any vendors that have priced any of this? Or are you planning on doing some of it yourself? Tell me about that.
Want to do some of it ourselves, if possible. We have had a couple of family friends who do, you know, updates and different things come over and give us some estimates. There is a problem with the basement that we had somebody look at to see if we needed to take care of, and that would have been $10,000 or more to fix that problem in the basement.
Okay. And you mentioned you'd like to get out of the property. So what are you thinking of in terms of that? You're just going to fix it up and sell it, or what's your time horizon there?
So I have three children, and it's a very small house right now. My daughter is small, and so she just occupies my space. But really, hopefully by the time that she's 3, 4, she starts needing her own area that we can at least be close to looking at places and have that on the horizon.
Okay. And what would you be looking to spend if you were to buy the home, your next home, maybe not your dream home, but the home that gives you a little bit more space and accommodates your family?
Probably about $1,500. This only cost us $84,000.
All right. $84,000 is the purchase price, and you need to spend $150,000? on the next
that's
one?
That's what I look at. Yeah, that's what I look at. You know, it usually gives us something. We need the space and another bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. And would your budget support that? It sounds like you guys are stretched pretty thin based on this current mortgage, let alone two times it.
I already am able to put quite a bit of money into our savings every month. So I believe that we could afford, especially if we were able to get enough for a decent down payment by putting money into the house.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You know, in light of what you're describing here, I don't like you all taking out a loan and spending a lot of money on renovations, especially given the market that we're in right now. I'd probably get a realtor to come over and, you know, somebody who's a professional who could really help you walk the property and decide what things you should do and what things you shouldn't, because in some cases you may just be able to give a credit for some of this and let somebody do, you know, a bathroom renovation that the way they want to, or something like that, rather than you all spending the time and the expense of doing it yourself in light of the fact that you want to move. I think the other thing is, you know, construction prices are elevated right now just because of, you know, we've just still got supply chain issues and raw materials are expensive and a lot of people have been renovating homes. So, you know, contractors are overworked and therefore, you know, they're charging more in many cases. So I think from that standpoint, I don't like the idea of you all borrowing anything. And if you do start fixing some things up, I do it with a plan for selling it. You know, you approach renovations completely differently when you're going to sell something than if you're going to, you know, live there the next 10 years or more and enjoy it. Not that you do a shoddy work, but the idea is that you wouldn't only do certain things because other improvements or renovations, you're just not going to get that money back out. And even if it's needing to be updated, in some cases, you're better off to let the new buyer do it. So I'd start with a couple of things. Number one is really dial into your budget and figure out how much mortgage payment you can afford. And I would make sure it's not more than 25% of your take-home pay. Number two, you need to start saving for that down payment. I'd like for you to have 20% of that new home. That's $30,000 on a $150,000 home. That would be my preference. And number three, get a realtor in there to help you figure out how much you should actually do in light of the fact that you want to sell before you do any work. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, Dakota. We appreciate you checking in with us. We'll talk to you real soon. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap Weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
We're delighted you're spending some time with us here at MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Hey, our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance. So let's head right back to the phones, Streamwood, Illinois. Desiree, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for having my call. Sure. I am retired, and I have a little bit of a bucket of money that it's about probably $500,000 that I'm looking at, and I won't meet it. I've already looked at all the financial planner stuff, and my goal is to try to maybe do something with that money so that it winds up being converted over to an IRA that's a Roth. Right now, I have no Roth IRAs. It just didn't work out that way with my 401k and things like that. So basically, some of it got rolled over out of the 401k into an IRA, and now I'm looking at potentially rolling it to an IRA that's a Roth, but I don't know if that really matters. If the tax burden while I'm alive is able to help protect that legacy even more for my son, then that's what I'm going to do. He's 31 years old. I'm 60. Lucky, and God blessed me incredibly to be able to be retired at this point with pretty much no need to worry about it, anything for the rest of my life. But my thought is while I'm still alive, do I take the tax burden and pay that and then let it roll for that next however many years till I pass as a Roth?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's something certainly to explore with your CPA. Do you use a tax preparer?
I do, but basically I probably have to get a different one. And right now the big question is when and how, if I even do it. If it's even ultimately somebody's going to take a tax burden on it, but then yeah. It would be growing tax-free at that point, and I'm not sure that's not smart for everybody, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you in that, especially since you don't need it, and, you know, if the Lord tarries and you live a long time, then you wouldn't be subject to required minimum distributions either. You know, typically the time to convert to a Roth is when you believe you're in a lower tax bracket, and, you know, in terms of from a legislative standpoint, I would say that, you know, taxes are about as low as we're going to see right now. I think if anything, they're going up. So could you make a case while you're no longer working and, you know, and you have some disposable income that it would make sense for you to go ahead and pay the tax now? You certainly could. I mean, I think the real benefit to a Roth is when you have a lot of time and you can get those compounded tax, free growth going on. Depending on your investment strategy right now, given that you're not working, although you don't need the money, so you may still be pretty much fully invested. But depending on how you've structured that, if you're not going to get a whole lot of growth in the years ahead, you're obviously blessing your heirs by paying this tax now because they don't have to pay that when they inherit the Roth, whereas they do, even though they wouldn't have a penalty, they'd pay the tax at their ordinary income rates as they take out of an inherited traditional IRA. So I think it's really just a matter of, do you want to kind of bite the bullet now, so to speak, and pay that tax for them and then get that tax-free growth and not have to pull it out, when you reach the age where you normally would with an RMD at 72, Or, do you want to just let this continue to grow in a tax-deferred environment, pass it on, which would be a great blessing to them, and then they can just pay the tax as it comes out? I think that's really just a planning conversation for you to look at with a CPA. You certainly wouldn't want to do all of it because you'd bump a significant portion of that up into some really high tax brackets. So if you did anything, you'd want to stagger it over a number of years. But I think working with your CPA on that strategy would probably be the best option.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate taking my call, because that was the big thing is, do I take it? Because I'm an extra person that could take that hit right now and then whatever's growing, if I live another 20 years, but it's in a fund targeted as if it was him being retired, because
right.
That's basically kind of, he's a teacher and he does not make a lot of money, and they changed the pension laws and stuff. So he is doing what he loves to do, but he's not going to have a big resource when he retires. And so looking at kind of paying that retirement forward to him, because I'm doing well. So, almost doing it as a 2050 fund or 2055 fund. So it's kind of targeted to him, and take it little by little. Right now I'm lucky. I'm in a 12% tax bracket.
Well, so I think there's something to be considered here, because as you said, you can invest it as though it's his money, which that's the way you're categorizing this. If you've got the margin to go ahead and pay the tax, what a blessing for him to be able to not only get this tax-free, but allow it to continue to grow tax-free down the road. So I think it's a good strategy. I'm on board with it, Desiree. Just work with your tax preparer as to the mechanics of how and when you go about it. We appreciate your call today. Mary's in Ohio, WCRF. Mary, go right ahead.
Hello, WFCJ.
Okay, great.
I go to garage sales, auctions, or thrift stores.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the show, you said to avoid impulse spending.
Yes.
Well, those kind of places don't have a routine inventory. You never know what to get.
That's right.
How do you avoid impulse spending there?
Yeah. Well, it's a question I can't say I've gotten before, but it's a really good one, Mary. And obviously, shopping at garage sales and thrift stores are a great way to spend less for the things that you need. There's no question about that. But you can absolutely do impulse buying at a garage sale. In fact, if you don't know what you're going for, which is typically the way it is with garage sales, they lend themselves to impulse buying, because you see something and the fact that it's at a discount makes you believe, well, this is a great deal, I ought to go ahead with it. But the problem is, even though you're getting a good deal on it, you end up buying things you don't really need. And so I think the option for you would be, number one, make sure you're using an all-cash system, because you're going to spend less with cash. That's typically the way people pay for things, though, at garage sales. So that's nothing new. But number two, I would really have a list of the things that you need and not just go browsing, because browsing, whether you're in a retail store or a garage sale, is what gets you in trouble. Because again, we spend money on things we don't need. 30 days later, we're like, why did I buy that? I don't really need that. And we end up buying a lot of things in the name of saving money that we really don't need at the end of the day. I think the third thing is, just make sure there's a line item in your budget for your garage selling and thrifting. Because again, if we're buying things we don't need, or we're buying things with money we don't have, that's problematic. So if you use all cash, you make a list of what you're going for in advance, you make sure there's money in the budget and you don't go over that, I think those would be the three keys. Does that make sense?
Okay, sure.
All right. God bless you, Mary. We appreciate your call. Quickly to Portage, Michigan. Janine, how can I help you?
Yes, I have a question concerning an IRA. I have lost about $5,000 or $6,000 in that. The last 6 months, I went from about $81,000 down to $75,000. And I was talking to my financial man who handles this IRA, and he suggested that I could put that money into three CDs that would probably go from about 2.5% to 3.5%. And you could buy one at around 30 months and another one from anywhere from 18 to 24 months, and then another one at about the same. And he said that, and I told him, I says, I still want to get about $400 per month, which is what I'm getting now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, very good. Let's do this, Mary. I don't want to cut you off, and I want to be sure to give you plenty of time to answer your question. So I've got to take a quick break. I heard the first part. I'm going to let you finish that on the other side of this break, and then I'll give you my thoughts, because I want to make sure we cover this fully and give you the time you need. So you stay on the line. We're going to pause and we'll be right back with Janine in Michigan. Stick around.
I've got a book I've been working on for some years now. It's called Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I think it really is an important response to the critical race theory nonsense and all of this racial demagoguery that has risen up like a cult.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Listen to the French accent that she puts on when talking to these guys.
We campaign with the plan.
The plan. Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States.
Kito. Kito, you feel.
Just doing a French accent.
Does your dog bite?
The plane.
That too.
All right. That's enough Kamala Harris reporting.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions. We're going to head right back to the phones. Janine, before our break, you were sharing that you've got $75,000 or thereabouts in an IRA. You've seen some volatility with the market. You've lost about $5,000 or $6,000 since January. You're in your 80s, and you've been talking to your advisor about whether you should cash out of your current investments and move this money into a laddered, and that just simply means a set of CDs that are staggered based on their maturity date. So you could do a 1 year, a 2 year, and a 3 year, something like that. Let me ask you, did you say you're currently drawing some money each month out of this account?
Yes, I'm drawing around $430 to add to my Social Security, and I would like to keep doing that if I can get that much out of the CDs.
Yeah. Okay. So 430. So you're taking about 5,000 a year out of this, and at 75,000, I realize it was higher, but at 4% a year, which would be what we'd be targeting typically with an investment strategy, you know, I'd say we'd be looking at about 3,000 a year. So, you know, I'd love for you to get that down to about 250 a month, or just recognize you're going to be eating into some of the principal. I'm not surprised that you've lost, this since January. Do you know what portion of your portfolio is in stocks versus bonds or other assets?
He's got it 80% fixed and 20% that he works with.
I see.
It's 80-20.
I think that's about right. We are in a situation where we're going to continue to see challenges in the market. And, you know, we could hit a recession a year or two from now. I think the key would be to recognize, listen, when we get into a period like this, we're going to have these kinds of declines, but they're paper losses until we sell. And so that's why with the 20 or in some cases 30% with an income portfolio that's in stocks, we realize that's going to be down, but we count on those, you know, decades of upward trends to make up for the, you know, year or two. In some cases, usually it's not more than that, that we might have kind of a down leg of the market. And so I think from that standpoint, as long as you're prepared for it, you've got the right investment mix that's consistent with your age and your goals, in this case, you know, trying to generate income, we just recognize that's a part of the equation. We ride it out, knowing that, you know, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you need this to last potentially a couple of decades. And so having a growth component to it, you know, especially in light of what we're experiencing right now with inflation, is a good thing. But if at the end of the day, Janine, you'd say, you know what, I just really can't sleep at night unless I protect what I have, and I don't want to take this risk, even though, you know, I've made money in the last few years, I just don't want to see those statements where that money's down. And if that's the case, then you probably need to move to something that is along the lines of what he's talking about. The challenge is, you know, let's say, you know, that average return is only 2%. Well, if you cash out right now at $75,000, we're only talking about $1,500 a year. And so, you know, that's $125 a month. And that extra $300 that you're pulling, you know, is going to come right out of principal. And so that account is going to be declining over time. So, you know, I think that's the question you need to answer is, you know, can I take the long view and recognize that the volatility is going to cause me to, you know, on paper, lose value, and I'm okay with that because I've got the long term in mind? Or is it just robbing me of my peace of mind, and I'd really, you know, rather shore up what I have, but I'm also willing to accept the fact that it's not going to generate enough each year to cover what I'm pulling out, and so over time, that balance is going to be declining. Does that make sense?
Well, before I say whether I think it makes sense, he did say he would put the three CDs in $20,000 apiece, so that's $60,000, and then take out $15,000 in cash. And I think he was referring to me taking out the extra money to make up the $400 a month out of this cash, but I'm not sure that that's what he meant.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't keep it all working for you as long as you can. You know, putting it in cash, number one, you're going to pay the tax on it when you pull it out, and then you're going to stick it in a bank account. You know, obviously you need to be able to draw on it, but there shouldn't be any reason why you can't just take a scheduled distribution every month. I'm not sure what you solve for by pulling the 15 out and putting it in your checking account or something like that. So I think that's where you just need to look at what is the right long-term investment strategy for you to try to get this money to last as long as you possibly can. And, you know, do you feel comfortable with that at the end of the day?
Well, if I could see maybe some market go up a couple times, that would be encouraging. I don't know if I'm going to see it.
Well, you just have to look over the last 10 years and see what the market has done to be encouraged, because this is a pretty new anomaly. Now, it happens. So that's why even when the market was going straight up, we say, when's the next recession? Because there always is one. The question is it 6 months away or is it 6 years away? And we're probably closer than we are farther because of how far this market has come, how high the valuations are, and how well it's done over the last 12 years or so, you know, since the, or 14 years since the 2008-2009 collapse. So I think, you know, that's at the end of the day what you need to decide. And this is your money that God has given you to steward, so you need to have peace of mind about it. And I think you've got wise counsel there, so you need to hear the advisor out, talk through it, and come to a conclusion that makes sense, but you need to understand the implications of that plan in terms of how long this money is going to last.
Yeah, well.
I realize there's not a perfect solution here, and so I'm sorry about that, and I'm just going to pray the Lord will give you some wisdom. You go back and talk it through with him, try to understand why he was recommending you pull the 15 out, and perhaps consider whether you should stay with the current strategy, which has the prospects for longer-term growth that's going to meet your withdrawal rate, but recognize with that comes increased risk and volatility, and you'd need to be able to weather that without getting anxious. So ask the Lord to give you some wisdom, and check back in with us and let us know what you decide. We appreciate your call today. To Cleveland, Ohio, Carolyn, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. I am unfortunately getting a divorce, and I'm wondering what to do with a joint credit card that we've had in excess of 30 years. And how it's going to affect my credit score.
Yes. Well, so you generally can't remove a name from a joint credit card. It has to be canceled. So in most states in a divorce, both parties would be responsible for the credit card debt on a card held jointly. And this applies even if one spouse was the one who used it the most or made the payments. A judge, however, could decide that one spouse is able to pay more than the other, and that would be spelled out in the settlement agreement. But in terms of the creditor, you're jointly and equally responsible for that debt.
I have to tell you, there's no debt on it.
Okay. All right. So the question is just how is it going to affect you when it's closed?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. When you close an account, you'll see probably a temporary drop. One card's going to be pretty negligible, number one. The reason that it happens is it removes that, in many cases, from your history. So that's just one less account, especially if it's one that's been open for a long time that's factoring into your credit score. Number two, if there's balances on any other cards, it reduces your overall limit, which makes the balance you're carrying a higher utilization ratio. If that tips over 30%, that'll hurt you. But if you're not carrying any balances, that's probably not an issue. So I wouldn't worry about it. The other thing is, if you're not looking to go out and borrow money, buy a house, take out a new loan, buy a car with debt, it doesn't really matter, because a temporary drop in your score because you closed a card is not really of much concern. And the bottom line is, if you're divorcing, this needs to be closed. So you really don't have another option. But a minor drop in this score, Carolyn, is not something to be concerned about, in my view.
Okay. I appreciate you, your advice on that. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. Let's finish up in Illinois today. Joe, you go right ahead, sir.
How are you today, Rob?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Thank you for everything you've been doing. My wife was listening to your show one day last week, and she was telling me that you were saying that you need 10 to 12 times as much as your annual income to retire on.
Yeah. These are rules of thumb, Joe, and that's all they are. So you may listen to that and say, well, that's crazy. I can't do that. Who can do that? And you're right. I mean, that's a lot of money. It's going to take a long time to save that. The idea behind that is, what you're looking for is to offset what is not going to be paid by Social Security. And so, if you were to take somebody who's making $65,000, that'd be $780,000 at 4% return. We could throw off with $780,000. We could throw off $31,000 a year. That plus Social Security should make up, what most people spend on in retirement, which is about 80% of their pre-retirement income. So that's if you want to fully fund your pre-retirement income minus about 20% through just your retirement savings plus Social Security alone. That's what it's going to take. Now, some people say, listen, I started too late. I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to have that much. Well, that's fine. Just you got to make the numbers work. And you got to work up your budget, make sure you have what it takes to cover your expenses, whatever that is, whatever God's calling you to in this season of life. But that's at least the rationale behind that multiple of your income as a goal. But give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, if your annual income was $100,000 a year, so you wouldn't say you would need $1 million to retire?
Are you asking whether you'd need a million?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to live on 80% of your pre-retirement income, that'd give you $1.2 million. And if you pull out 4% a year, that's only $48,000, and you were spending $100,000. So you're going to take a pretty drastic cut in pay. Unless you want to pull out a principal, and that's at least the thought behind it. Let's do this. I've got to wrap the program. You stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air just to finish up. That's going to do it for us today, folks. MoneyWise on American Family Radio is a partnership between American Family Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much to my team. I couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then.